Sisters and brothers, you will recall on the opening night we were introduced to two artists who have been invited to be here with us this week, Kira Shaughnessy and Queen Ka. So why did we decide to have these artists come and share with us this week throughout the conference? Well, artists are a vital part of our struggles. They have always sustained our sense of dignity, equality, and respect, and they have given our struggles a way to dream something better and fostered our spirit of resistance. The arts can unify us, build solidarity, and help to highlight our commonalities in order to build bridges. These two spoken word artists have been soaking up the conference over the past few days, learning and sharing with you. They're going to present to us their interpretations and their impressions of the many things that they've heard over the past few days. But before we hear from them, I just wanted to give you a couple of statistics. Artists' earnings are very, very low, with an average earning of just over $23,000 per year. There are over 10,000 more women artists in Canada than men, yet men earn approximately $10,000 more than women. The majority of artists work with no benefits or pension plans, very little health and safety regulations, and members in this room know all too well about that struggle. Women artists like us are workers who struggle for decent working conditions, including a living wage, pay equity, pensions, benefits, health and safety standards, respect, and regulation in a heavily deregulated sector. Join me in welcoming to present their spoken word report to us, Queen Ka and Kira Shaughnessy, and first up is going to be Queen Ka.
Bonjour.
Hello. Like she said so well, I'm a woman artist. I'm from Tunisia originally, and I'm in Quebec now, so I have a very low salary, as you can imagine. But I'd like to thank you all for this conference. I learned so much here, and especially I am very touched and emotional. I mean, I really admire you. I want to really applaud you because the way you work so hard to achieve improvements for our generation. So thank you so much. Thank you for your struggles, because with the small battles, that's how we win the war. So I have two poems. The first is called To the Hostess. Ode to the hostess, who sets the table with silk and care, but who never sits there, who at any hour receives the high and mighty and the rebels, but who only gets a be quiet and look pretty in return, who can accompany others and help them along, but who's not totally safe in a hall dark and long. Ode to the hostess who spends days in care and who keeps a smile on her face for those facing illness, who cares for and watches over those in her care while her own pension is up in the air. This hostess who works night and day but who's kicked when she's down. For those who don't need a roof but a good solid foundation under her feet. Because the home is her priority. Her choices are her priority. Ode to this hostess who welcomes, feeds, and provides for all, even when it irritates her, and who rarely gets the praise that she deserves. But she has faith in these good neighbors to help her in need, to climb the stairs to a higher floor, to learn to bark and growl when the danger's at her door, to see higher and farther, to take the outstretched hand to explore other horizons without fear, to see other continents and other grades, even a return to school, to even better respond to the role of hostess, woman, mother. And who can choose when she will open her second home, the world again to greet, and when she will close those doors, not worried when her contract ends, she will find herself in the street. Thank you. I'd also like to thank the translators, because it's really something very hard to translate. It's poetry, so I'd like to thank them for that. The second poem is called La Fin, which in French means both the end and hunger, or the purpose and hunger. So I know you all have this hunger to succeed, and I do too. So I'm hungry. I'm hungry like a child, of a girl, of a lady, like a kitty or a tiger, the hunger of a woman, of after the fast, of the sunset, when the mind is full but the belly balls, a hunger from a diet that's going on too long. And for too long, this hunger has been pushed down a knotted throat. I'm hungry like an ogre. I'm hungry for equality. I'm hungry. Since the night of time, since a thousand days, we're a cat, girl, woman, lion, tiger. We have been have fed others by our breasts and by our hands. And what an innate generosity we have. But even though my mouth is dry, my stomach is empty, I'll go to the front. I'll not eat the scraps thrown by the chef. I'll not beg or plead strength in numbers. I'll not panhandle my due, especially when the battle is hard, because we need to get out of the shadow. Even if I'm so hungry, my knees buckle beneath me, I and the others, we will keep standing. So don't even try to tempt us with your fast food solutions. We want something solid, concrete, and clear. No fear of insult. No force-fed brainwash. Even the fattest cow needs to feed her calves. I'm hungry, but I will not break. I'm hungry, but for once, I'm not alone. I'm not alone being hungry. I'm not alone being Bigfoot hungry. From hunger to hunger, from here to there, from one step to the next, from one mouth to the next, we will soon have the right to hold the right end of the ladle and serve a big bowl of equity and freedom.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Queen
Kong. Merci, Queen Kong. C'était fantastique.
Are we going to be able to have these poems to be part of our report back?
If the copyright is allowed by the system, yeah.
Yes?
Yes,
Yes, perfect. Okay, so these poems will be included in the report back that gets sent to all of you. Thank you so much, Queen Kong. Thank you. That was beautiful. So next we're going to welcome Kira Shaughnessy.
Hello, everyone. It's such an honor to have been asked to do this. I have really learned a lot over this course of these few days, and it's been so wonderful to hear all of your sharing. The first piece, both of them are a little bit long. Not super long, but a little bit. The first piece I wrote because I was really particularly affected by all the discussions about violence in the workplace and harassment, because I have a friend of mine who is currently going through a very difficult struggle. She works at a college in Montreal and was dealing with sexual harassment from her boss and is going through this whole mediation process. And it was really, really upsetting to me. And so hearing all the talk of this these past few days really brought it up again for me. And so, yeah, the first piece is about that. I tend not to title my pieces, so I'll just give you the... There is a reason that violence and silence sound so similar, a reason that they are so easily associated, the syllables slippery with grasping to wrap our minds around why, how. There were no right thoughts, no right words, no right actions, only a falling feeling in our throats. The muffled cries of how could you and why did you, ringing inside hollow bellies. How? Why? For 2 years, she worked underneath his eyes and hands in the shadow of his tenure, her position tenuous, her pay pitiable, she being not quite pale enough or male enough or aged enough to be taken seriously. She sickened, tongue thickened from the numbing effects of systematically injected poison, silence. Silence supporting these acts of ignorance by refusing to take us at our word, rather, choosing to take us at our worth as sex objects. To an all-male administration, they were asking for it, or exaggerating, or any other number of excuses that would allow the turning of heads, the blinding of eyes. This institution of 10,000 students, a microcosm of the injustice system that forces us to replay and replay and replay these scenarios for years, as if there were anything playful about it, as if there were anything that needed figuring out, when we all know that violence is not part of the job. Over 6 women complained, and all he got was 1 summer's paid suspension and a promotion, of course. At the end of the day, I am speechless, stricken, in bed for 4 days, weakened, paralyzed, and crying, this is not what we signed up for. And let me draw a little parallel, if you will. Let me bring our attention back to some very apparent disparities, also too often ignored. The question, how does a country founded on genocide move beyond that history? How do we cleanse our system of this disgrace without forgetting this legacy, these lessons? How do we act the reality that violence is not part of governance? Violence is not part of politics. 5.1 billion in cuts to social spending, housing, and education in indigenous communities, speaking clearly to the opposite of this truth. The constant infringement on territories barely adequate, let alone generous, as some dead white men would have us believe. How do we resolve the violence of a government that refuses to acknowledge Aboriginal rights on a global scale, not to mention the continued abasement, abuse, and marginalization of women whose grandmothers gave them food and housing and taught us how to survive these cold, cold winters, welcoming them that begat us into a new land, not ours, not owned? Why do we continue to allow ourselves to be disgraced by the fundamentally sexist, racist acts and attitudes of politicians supposed to represent us, when we know and we say violence is not to be tolerated? Do we acknowledge that violence has been ignored and is part of our governance? That violence in our workplaces springs from something systemic? A hatred and a fear of all that represents the feminine, women and women's work, land, the living earth, and this leads to a violence that is not part of the job, and it was never in the description. Nor should harassment be an unfortunate fate from the day we are born female. So I say to you now, sisters and brothers, it is high time we broke this silence. It is high time we were heard and that the systems upholding this be held accountable, that our stories be told, these connections made, until one day the walls come tumbling down to the sound of 1,000 voices rejoicing in the end of this silence, the end of this cycle of unacknowledged, invisible violence. Thank you. Ooh, I'm shaking. All right, this one's a little more general. Women of the world, come together, the change is coming on. Women of the world, come together, add your voice to the chorus million strong. It's been a long time coming, it's been so long, it's been so long. It's been a long time coming, sisters. For far too long, we have navigated these waters as aliens, strangers to each other in the stranglehold of shame and uncertainty, weaving our ways as best we can, heads down to keep from being hit unexpectedly by the whips that kept our mothers and grandmothers silenced, counting our doubts of self as well-founded, allowing the legacies of our ancestors' belief in separation to accumulate, shoulders slumped by the weight of expectation, exploiting an innate sense of caring and responsibility confused with weakness, along with a we-can-take-it attitude. The toughness of mother's skins rubbing our own into protective shells. Our capacities for survival, endless. And a man's word telling us it's a man's world just to keep us subservient. Better take what you can get. Toughen up, girls. Buckle down, girls. Tighten that belt. Stiffen that lip. Chin up, eyes down. Smile plastered on, just in case. But justice can't wait any longer. And I see freedom songs on the lips of every person in this room. And justice is about us just refusing to believe that things mean what they say they do. It's about creating a new language, one we all understand, and demanding to be spoken to in ways that engage with the reality that patriarchy is a dysfunctional pattern established by past participants in a world I do not agree with on principle. The reality that globalization isn't saving anyone. In fact, it's been the cause of countless catastrophes, the loss of thousands of lives, languages, human rights, and liberties, land debased and raped in the name of profit for everyone. That is, profit for everyone who belongs to the right club and owns the right car and speaks the right language and has the right skin color, was born into the right family, lives in the right country with the right connections. Justice can't wait any longer. So we are breaking through the carcasses of a Caucasian male causes accustomed to being heard and held dear by the old boys' networks that negotiate agreed upon glass ceilings behind closed doors. Justice is about us just choosing change over business as usual. Justice is about equality, prevention, and elimination of poverty as primary goals for our children and their children's children from whom we inherit the earth. Justice is about our children and their children's children being able to live their lives whole and with dignity. For our children's children from whom we struggle every day to be worthy of bringing them into this world. And when I wake at night, it's with a prayer that my generation might see balance established, that we might see a healing of the dualities that maintain this illusion of separateness. And no, we are not willing to wait any longer. There is a place for us at this table. And you see now, this is about hunger. It's about a yearning for this justice, rooted in the knowledge that another world is possible, is probable, even already is in the process of becoming. Manifest in the eyes of every mother reminded of her intrinsic worth, every person across the globe learning to work for the whole and to do so from a place of love, releasing fear-based paradigms to be replaced by true empowerment. The kind that comes from connections and the strength of collective intentions, focused on a way forward founded on grounds that were once familiar, like respect and a recognition that none of us is free, none of us is free, none of us is free if one of us is chained, none of us is free. And to embrace the living worth of all beings, we need transformational and systemic change. And that's why the temperature is rising. The climate of our Mother Earth, a reflection of the times, ripe for catalyst, our convictions only adding to this shift, reminding us that growth is not infinite, that life cycles cannot be avoided, reminding us that we need to speak out, we need to stand up, we need to find strength in loving, our arms intertwined, being all the arms we need to let these freedom songs echo from our lips through to the chambers of every heart as we sing, People of the world come together, the change is coming on. People of the world come together, add your voice to the chorus million strong. And it's been a long time coming, it's been so long, it's been so long. It's been a long time coming, but this change is coming on.